Today on Real Radio.
Preaching, for example, and teaching the Word of God is someday going to come to an end. There'll be no need of it. Did you know that? Evangelism, there'll be no need of it. There's going to come a day when there will be no need for the gift of healing, for the word of knowledge. All those things will be done away except one thing.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse series through Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. Now, we're spending some time in chapter 13. It's the section of Scripture where Paul gets very specific in describing perfect divine love, the love that comes from God. And in verse 8, he lists a number of spiritual gifts that we encounter in our lives as believers. But here's the question. Do they last forever? Another question, how do they compare with the love from above? Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson called With Just One Word.
We are in verse 8 this morning, but just a little bit of verse 8. Verse 8a is how I would put it. We are in a message entitled this morning, With Just One Word. In a sense, we're still living off of the grandeur of finding the love of your life, Jesus Christ, the love of God for you that's never changing, forever real. But this morning, we're looking at this opening three words of the eighth verse. But when we talk about just one word, we're actually talking about just one word that is assembled together, though, that makes this statement, love never fails. We'll look at each of those words, but just one of them at a time. And what I love about what we're talking about today is, if you remember looking at verses 4 through 7, and I'm sure that all of you do, as we went through finding the love of your life, we saw this, that in verse 4, that love suffers long, and we inserted the name Jesus, and it really works great, because the very nature of Christ is the love of God. Love suffers long, so does Jesus. And is kind, so is Jesus. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Love is not puffed up. Verse 5 says, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Now look at verse 8, first three words, love never fails. And that is powerfully significant. Because if we were to read the entire chapter, you can read it later, there is the announcement about these attributes of God regarding love. And in light of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which began in Paul's message to the church at Corinth, chapter 12, he's going to pick it up in chapter 14. What pulls the gifts of God in operation together is the love of God. That we have no business operating the gifts of the Holy Spirit in the body of Christ without the love of God. And so one of the reasons why this is so vitally important is that preaching, for example, and teaching the Word of God is someday going to come to an end. There'll be no need of it. Did you know that? Evangelism. There'll be no need of it. There's going to come a day when there will be no need for the gift of healing, for the word of knowledge. They will be done. Why will they be done? Why will we not need them anymore? Because we'll be in heaven. Wouldn't it be funny if somebody tried to evangelize you in heaven? Hey, man, I want to introduce you to the Lord. Why would I talk to you when I can go sit on his lap right over here? All those things will be done away except one thing, love. Isn't that amazing? The love of God. So when we talk about this, I'm going to suggest something to you. As a Christian, I want to, and I should, and I think God is impressing upon my heart that whatever I read in the Bible as a Christian, it needs to be underlined with this word love, whatever it is. When I look at an event in the Bible, I should be looking at the event of that Bible through the eyes of the Lord and the love of Christ. In fact, if you're ever in doubt, if you're ever in fear, if you're wondering what's going on in your life, press the default button and know this: God loves me. If you don't understand what's happening, default to the nature of God, and that is love. I love what the Bible says. Jesus said it in Matthew 11:28. He says, "Come to me, all you who are labor and are heavy laden." I love that word, come. Think about that. If it's underlined and underscored by the word love, come to me. Jesus is saying it with this motive of love, right? The Bible says in the book of Isaiah, come and drink of the waters. Come, underlined, underscored by the love of God. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, an amazing few words there. Chapter 4, verse 1, Revelation, it's announced to the Apostle John, come up here. Wouldn't you love to hear that? And in this particular sense, I picked on the word come, underscored by the foundation of love. Now, as we get into this message today, I want you to think about this for a second. How do you hear things when God speaks to you? Do you hear them with the motive and with God's heart reaching out to you, rooted in love? Is that how you hear? Are you afraid of God because he's mean? Then you don't know the love of God. You don't know his nature. Does God and the concept of God terrify you? Then you don't know the nature of God. You have the History Channel version of God, or the Smithsonian Channel, or some book. Or maybe you've read Richard Dawkins' book and the God Delusion, and he paints this incredible rant about how nasty and mean the God of the Bible is. You can tell he's trying to take a swing at the God he doesn't believe in. But when I've looked at parts of that book, I've concluded that Richard Dawkins really truly believes in God very much so. He's got a real big axe to grind against this God, but he's missed his entire nature. He doesn't even know who he is. And this is a serious thing. How does God speak to you? How does God respond? How does God infuse his person into your life? The Bible says it's all based on the love of God. Now, listen to me. When I say that it's all based on the love of God, that is absolutely true. But don't think God to be some weakling. God is holy. And he's pure. He's just. But God is love. The other day, I was walking our two little dogs. They had been in the house all day long. We have two little, incredibly obedient little Yorkshire Terriers. They're amazing little things. They're totally born again. They're saved. These dogs love the Lord. One of them is old and one of them is young. And they had been in the house all day long. They won't go to the bathroom in the house. They'll just wait. You could see when you come home, you'd be gone 12, 13, 14 hours, and you come home, and they're just sitting by the door going, ooh, and you got a little sweat on their forehead. Let me out! And so I let them out, and we walked down the street a little bit, and as again, one is slower, one is faster, and I realized that about 30 feet to the right's the slower one, 30 feet to the left is the quicker one. And I saw my neighbor coming down the street getting ready to pull into the driveway. And I realized, oh my goodness, if she pulls into the driveway, my little dog, the young one, is far out ahead. I can't get to her in time to rescue her. Because I had been saying, come here, come here. I was asking one, come to me now, because it's lagging behind. And the other one is, come back. And I'm going like this, look like a New York intersection police officer, going like this. And then the lady starts to pull in the driveway. And I yell to the little one, stop, stay, sit. And she just looked at me and she sat down. All 4 pounds of her sat down and looked in total terror. Stop right there. My words to her, where were they rooted? Love. I don't want the dog to get run over. 4-pound dog, 3,000-pound car, not good. Stop, stay, sit. Strong words. In this case, loud words because of distance. She stopped, she stayed, she sat. The car pulls up in the driveway. Everything's well. I had to scoop her up and pet her and yay and make her okay. Everything's fine now. Okay. Listen. Everything, every time God speaks to you, remember that. Remember that always. He might say, stop, stay, sit. He might say, wait. Don't you hate that? When you're crying out to God, he may not say anything at all. He may say yes, he may say no. Whatever he says, he may speak to you from the word in your daily devotional reading of life. He's going to speak to you. And the thing that you're to understand always, Christian, is that it is founded upon love. So in our study right now, keep this in mind. We look at verse 8, love never fails. And I want you to circle the word love, agape, the love of God, the eternal, never changing, always consistent, forever love of God never fails. That very truth is awesome. Number one, for this reason, it originates in God himself. That love originates in God. This is an amazing thing. This thing about love, the origin of love, what, even as humans, if we have the capacity, please follow along with me. It may be simplistic, it may be very basic, but just listen. If you and I have the capacity to love one another, if we care for each other, if we can care for animals, for crying out loud. How many of you have a dog? Raise your hand. Okay. Isn't it amazing? Don't repeat this, but wouldn't it be amazing if dogs were, if Christians were more like my dog? You know what I mean? If Christians were more like dogs sometimes. They're always forgiving. They're always, I mean, I don't know what kind of dog you have, but if my dog's amazing. Your dogs are amazing. Think about this for a moment. If you and I can love an animal, what is it for you? Well, I love my snake. Well, good for you. You got a cat? Oh, my cat's wonderful. That's fantastic. If you can love these silly little things and care about them, if you can care about your mother, your father, your grandchild, brothers or sisters, friends or family, if you can do that, doesn't that fact speak alone just that regarding the very creative powers of God? If you and I can care for an animal, what about God caring for us? You say, well, I don't believe in God. Then how can you think straight? If you can have affection and care and compassion for an animal, something so far below you, something that is an animal, and you're not. You say, I don't believe in God, remember? But if you could, where does that come from? Do you have like a little thing next to your bladder? It's a little kind of thing that's shaped like a heart and it has compassion in it. These things come from God. These are God stamps on your life. And people try to argue, oh, well, you know, that's not what it means. It means this. And in our evolutionary process, you know, one day we woke up and we had compassion toward, oh, come on. It's God. And if God loves on the grandest of scales of what we hint and flirt about in the sense of loving one another, and ours is so temporal, God's is eternal, and it originates in him. The greatest display of love itself was the entire life of Christ. But that's not ceased to be exhibited today in our world. It didn't end when Jesus ascended back to heaven. God's love is being deposited upon all of our lives right here, right now, no matter who we might be or whatever we believe in. God's love is extended to us in this time of grace. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, the Bible says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God. This is the love of God. This is not earthly love. This is not carnal love. This is the unconditional love of God. And that person knows God. Verse 8, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And I want to just hover around verse 8 for a second there. That is a pretty powerful statement. Because listen, as people, if God has affected our lives, as the love of God has been experienced in our lives, then listen, we cannot help. Church, listen, we cannot help but extend love towards other people. We cannot help it. Why is that the case? We've been loved. Now, allow me to be very much to the point right now to get the point across. If today in our lives we are very self-centered, self-focused, self-absorbed, and we honestly don't love anyone outside of me, myself, and I, then it is impossible for us to have experienced the love of God. Because no matter what you and I have had happen in our lives, no matter how bad we've been abused, how we've been rejected, how we've been bullied, how we've been treated, listen, no matter what, when we come to the knowledge that the eternal God, the creator of all things, loves you, and you're going to hear in a moment how it is an uncaused love. I'll explain in a moment. That he, out of his own volition, has chosen to love you. It's his will. It's his sovereignty. You can't do anything about that. It would by nature cause you then from that moment on. Watch. Listen. If I'm loved by God to this degree, and this love has originated with God, and he has deposited it upon my life, then I need not have to worry about me anymore. I now, Jesus said it this way, if a man dies to himself, he will find himself. This is the secret to Christian success. Forget about you. Because God cannot forget about you. And when you settle that, when you pick that up and set it over here, you get to wash your hands of you and be free to focus on others and live the life of Jesus. And the love of God will invade your life. Some of you are sitting here right now saying, I don't believe it. You'll never believe it unless you're willing to try it. It takes you placing you into the hands of him who said he'll love you. And then he'll say to you, now I will love others through you. And when you begin to venture out and to love other people the way the Lord would have you to love them, there is this amazing, amazing life to be lived. Love originates with God, and all of God's children know that love. And if today you don't know if God loves you, why is that the case when the Bible says that you are to know his love, that he wants you to be loved, and you're to know his love? What would keep you from knowing that great love of God? He wants you to know it. He wants you to experience that love, to believe in his word. For God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son, that if you would believe in him, you would not perish but have everlasting life. The Bible says in 1 John 4:8, as we said a moment ago, that God is love. What an awesome statement that is. You cannot deny the grandeur of God and his love. You can argue with him, but you'll never win. Robert Jastrow, if you don't know who he is, I've read some of his stuff for many years now, actually, over the course of time. Robert Jastrow, let this impress you before I read you his quote. Robert Jastrow has a PhD in theoretical physics. He's the chairman of NASA's Lunar Exploration Committee. He's the chief of theoretical geophysics division for NASA. He's professor of geophysics at Columbia University. He's the director of NASA Goddard Space Center. This guy's no idiot. Robert Jastrow wrote this in his book, God and the Astronomers. Was it created by an all-knowing God, or did it just happen by chance? Quote, for the scientist who has lived by his faith in the power of reason, the story ends like a bad dream. He has scaled the mountains of ignorance. He is about to conquer the highest peak. As he pulls himself over the final rock, he is greeted by a band of theologians who have been sitting there for centuries, all in this quest for the meaning of life. You cannot say that God does not exist unless you have never experienced love of any type. And I have not yet met a human being that has not known some form of love in this life. If it can be exhibited by a human, and God says, I made them and made us, and that he is the source of love, then that is a discovery and a quest that every human needs to pursue. The next thing I want you to look at regarding this is that it emanates from God himself, that love never fails. And the reason why that's true is because, yes, it originates in him. Secondly, it emanates from him. The Bible says in 1 John 4:9, in this the love of God was manifested, revealed, made known, emanated out toward us, that God has sent his only Son, begotten Son, into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love. Watch this. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And he sent his Son to be the propitiation. Big word. He has sent his Son to be the sacrificial payment for a price that we cannot pay, our sins. Verse 19 says, we love him because he first loved us. Isn't that great? That's good news. Jesus put it this way. The rich young ruler came running to him. We talked about him a couple weeks ago, but I want to highlight this portion. Matthew 22:37. Jesus said this, answering his inquiry about how does somebody inherit heaven. He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. This is the first and great commandment, Jesus said, and that is true. And the second is like it. Wow. What is this? The second commandment that Jesus speaks about. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Allow me to be a little sarcastic here for a second. That's a huge statement. Jesus Christ himself, the Word of God made flesh, the personification of love in this world, makes an announcement. He says, you don't need to know everything. You don't need to know Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. You don't need to know it all. Read it all. Love it all. Become familiar with it all. But if you're a brand new Christian, you don't need to know it all. What you need to know right now is to love God. And if you love God, listen, if you love God, it's because you've experienced the love of God, and you will turn around and you will love others. Yes. And here's the thing. I don't care if you are the first right reverend pastor so-and-so of the church of the whatsoevers. I don't care. I don't care if you sit in one of our local universities as a theologian and you are a doctorate of divinity. Boy, I tell you, with a title like that, I'd be scared to death to have that title. And you can separate all your theological tweedledees from your tweedledums. If you don't have love for people, you're nothing. I don't care how long your dad was a pastor, or if your mother played the organ, or that if you were a what, I don't care. Is love emanating from your life?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study that takes a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8. With Just One Word is the title of this study, taken from this section of Paul's letter. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, I'd like to take this chance to remind you that tonight, you can go to hischannel.com and watch our television show called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Now, the fact is, that airs every Monday night at 7 o'clock West Coast time, hischannel.com. And we really think you'll like it, so go check it out. Now, a few weeks ago, you saw Pastor Jack sit down with his special guest and my good friend Amir Tsarfati. They discussed God's promises regarding Israel, and it was fascinating. Well, tonight, Amir joins Pastor Jack once again to address what's happening with Israel and her neighbors. Now, maybe you've heard Pastor Jack say in the past that if you don't know Scripture, well, you'll never really understand the conflict in the Middle East. And that's what tonight's Real Life with Jack Hibbs is all about. Real Life with Jack Hibbs, Monday nights at 7 o'clock West Coast time on hischannel.com. Just click Live TV Stream for Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Our phone number, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.